Thank you very much. Like the other two speakers before me, it is a pleasure to be here today with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We've had a very close relationship with this organization for many, many years, and but especially since 1996, when we first got very involved in the issue of BSE and the importance of the feed rule and making sure that this disease did not have the impact on the U.S. that it did in Europe. So today I want to be talking a little bit about our feed rule and some of the other announcements that FDA has made this morning. Talk a little bit about our response, the FDA's response to the latest incident on December 23rd, and some of the things that you may not have been aware of that have been going on in preparing for the type of incident that we saw earlier this year, or late last year. First of all, it's no secret that on Monday the FDA did announce some new measures that will be put in place to help further prevent the introduction and spread of BSE in the United States. We have developed a coordinated multi-agency approach to this issue, along with our partners in the USDA and other government organizations. And we have in place now what we consider to be five major firewalls to protect consumers and the health of cattle from BSE. These measures, again, were announced on Monday. They will be going into effect sometime in the near future. We don't know exactly when that will happen, but we're moving as quickly as we can to get those in place. So we'll talk a little bit about the five firewalls. The first one that we've been talking about for many years is the prevention of the introduction of BSE into the United States by securing our borders. The responsibility to protect the consumers from BSE is shared by several branches of the government, USDA, FDA, and Customs and Border Protection, all work in coordination to keep unsafe products out of the United States. Since 1989, there have been a number of import alerts that have gone out as new countries found their first cases of BSE. We increased, as well as USDA, increased the list of countries that we would inspect any materials coming into the United States that may contain the infectious prion protein. And that includes all animal feeds from those countries where BSE was prominent. Now, this has grown through a series of import alerts that are still in place today. And we are constantly updating those import alerts for various countries as new countries are found to have BSE. The second firewall is surveillance, and Ron DeHaven talked about that and the importance of making sure that if the disease does come into the country that we are able to detect it. And I think the experience in December has shown us that system is very effective. The third firewall, and the one that FDA is responsible for, is the animal feed ban. And it was also mentioned earlier by Ron that the Harvard Risk Assessment considers this to be a critical aspect of the U.S.'s ability to keep this disease under control should it become established in this country, and that the current measures in place under the 1997 feed rule have, if BSE were to get into this country, which it has, would be effective in preventing the further spread of the disease and that the disease would die out based on compliance with the feed rule. So we take the feed rule very seriously, and it's our intention to make sure that it is enforced and that it is complied with. We announced on Monday that we would be further strengthening the feed rule to prevent any possibility of introduction of BSE through animal feeds. So here are some of the new rules that we've announced. First of all, there were certain exemptions in the 1997 feed rule, and we've taken a look at some of those exemptions, and in our new announcements basically remove those exemptions. There are three major exemptions to the feed rule. One of them was for blood and blood products from ruminant animals could be fed under the 1997 rule to cattle. Our announcement on Monday now indicates that exemption is removed, that blood and blood products from ruminant animals will no longer be allowed to be fed to ruminant animals. The way that it has been written, there is some confusion that it may pertain to all animal species, and that is not the case. That, for instance, if a plant produces blood that comes from swine, and that is the only animal that they process, then that blood could be used in rumen feed as an example of an exemption. The second exemption is for poultry litter. Back in the 1997 rule, we allowed the feeding of poultry litter. There was some question at the time, but we felt it was a safe practice. We didn't realize at the time that a considerable amount of feed is spilled into litter, and that feed may contain prohibited substances that could transmit the disease. So we have taken the opportunity to prohibit poultry litter feeding to ruminants. The third exemption was for plate waste. This is material that is generally picked up from restaurants. It is food that has been presented for human consumption. It is reprocessed under heat and can be fed to animals. But we have taken the position that this may allow the transmission of the disease to ruminants, and therefore we are prohibiting the feeding of plate waste to ruminant animals. There's one other major component to the announcements that were made on Monday, and that is the requirement for dedicated facilities. If renderers or feed manufacturers or protein blenders are mixing feed that contains prohibited ruminant protein and non-prohibited protein, those facilities must be separated. If they are making ruminant feed, we feel that, and the experience from the Europeans has given us some concern that there may not be adequate ways of preventing cross contamination, and the amount of material that can cause the disease in cattle is extremely small, on the order of 10 milligrams of infectious material. So it's important to make every effort we can to prevent any kind of cross-contamination into ruminant feeds. So dedicated facilities. Just to talk a little bit about our efforts to enforce our rule, I think the United States is probably alone in knowing exactly what the compliance rate with the industries that we regulate are, in this case, animal feed mills and renderers and protein blenders and various other industries that handle the animal feed and prohibited material. We have spent almost all of our resources on BSE in the inspection process. We are inspecting every firm that down to some level, which is not down to the actual feeder level, but with sampling down there. But certainly, all of the renderers, all of the feed mills, commercial feed mills, all of the protein blenders are inspected on a once-a-year basis to make sure that they are in compliance. In general, we do about, since 1997, we have done a total of 26,000 inspections of various firms. That amounts to almost 1,400 individual firms. Some of those were repeat inspections. About 2,000 of those actually handled prohibited ruminant protein. As of December 31st, there are only 5 companies that we know of that are out of compliance, and that results in a 99% compliance rate. We think that's good. We're trying to push it further to 100%, but that's very gratifying to us to know that the compliance rate is so high with this rule, and we attribute that to the number of inspections that are being conducted. Our inspection program has been accompanied also by a very strong education and outreach program. Since the BSE rules went into effect, here are some of the enforcement actions that the FDA has taken. We've issued 63 warning letters, which is the first level of enforcement action. We have one court-ordered permanent injunction against the company, and we have issued 47 recalls that account for 280 different products, and 12 of those were done in 2003. So we're actively out there. We're enforcing the act. some people ask the question, why aren't we doing more in enforcement? And my response is, we have five firms that are out of compliance. How much enforcement can we do? So aggressive enforcement is part of our plan. In the upcoming year, we intend to do even more inspections. FDA will inspect 2,800 firms in 2004. The states, our state counterparts, will do an additional 3,100 inspections, and then there will be an additional 700 inspections done through partnership agreements. I think I would be remiss if I didn't express the importance of the state regulators, the state feed control officials, and how important those folks are in making sure that this inspection program is accomplished. And without them, we certainly couldn't have done it because we just don't have enough people to do it. But the states have been tremendously helpful and supportive in our efforts to get out there and make sure that we've inspected every single feed mill that handles prohibited material. In addition to the feed rule, we've also announced this week some parallel measures similar to what USDA has announced for foods. So FDA does regulate some foods that come from cattle. Any food product that contains 5% meat or less is actually regulated by the FDA. So soups and broths and some other foods are regulated by the FDA. And we've announced that we will take similar measures to that which USDA announced earlier this month. In addition, dietary supplements may contain cattle products. We have announced that SRMs will no longer be allowed to be used in dietary supplements and also in cosmetics. Now, mostly cosmetics consist of tallow. One of the real keys, I think, to the way that this incident was handled goes back to a lot of practice and a lot of preparation for this event. Emergency response teams and emergency response programs that have been put into place in all the federal agencies. Part of this is the result of 9/11, but we now in USDA, HHS, and FDA all have emergency command centers that respond immediately when we have these kinds of emergency. And in this case, it went extremely well. This is our fifth firewall, and then this firewall is to implement the BSE Emergency Response Plan. For a number of years, both the USDA and the FDA have worked on emergency response plans for the day when we saw our first case of BSE. And those plans fit together and work together very well. There's been a lot of cross-agency cooperation in making sure that our plans actually do fit together. In addition, we have conducted three what we call tabletop exercises, simulated exercises in which BSE is found in this country. Long before the Homeland Security had their simulated emergencies, like the dirty bomb in Seattle and the infectious disease outbreak in Chicago, those simulated exercises, USDA, FDA, and a number of other government agencies, including Canada and our Canadian counterparts, were conducting these emergency simulated exercises. And we learned a lot from those. At first, we found many, many mistakes. People that were dropped off the list that should have been included, people that weren't available that should have been available, just about anything that you can imagine. On our first attempt to do this, our fax machines didn't work. And that was absolutely critical to the whole emergency operations plan. So we've been through these exercises, and when the call came out on December 23rd, we were ready. We had our emergency operations staff up and running, and we had people on the ground almost immediately. We sent out teams, FDA sent out teams to conduct investigations to determine what happened to all of the byproducts. It wasn't just the meat, but it was all of the rendered products that we needed to account for. We quickly, because we were able to move quickly under our emergency response plan, we were able to locate all of the material that came from the BSE infected animal and put those under a hold so that they could not go into animal feed and they could not go into any other human products. FDA inspected and traced products at 22 different facilities related to the BSE cow. We inspected feed mills, dairy farms, calf feeders, slaughterhouses, meat processors, transfer stations, and shipping terminals. We tracked product out of this country and brought it back. FDA has been conducting, since that date, a number of inspections of feed mills and rendering. All of the firms that we have inspected in this case have been in 100% compliance with our feed regulation. And so we were very gratified by that. And again, we can account for all of the byproducts, but none of that has gotten into any animal feed that we regulate. Another aspect that we have announced is that we are looking for tests to be able to actually test feed for the presence of prohibited material. The FDA has developed some fairly sophisticated tests for doing this. These are not always practical at the level of the feed mill. And so what we are in the process of announcing is ways that companies can come to FDA, present us with their particular test methods. We will evaluate those test methods and determine if they are acceptable for regulatory purposes. That way, feed can be monitored on a real-time basis, not only by the federal government, but by the firms that handle these materials to help ensure that the products are going to continue to be safe. So in conclusion, I'd just like to reiterate that the federal agencies have adopted a coordinated approach to BSE situation. The results have been 5 solid firewalls designed to keep BSE out of our borders, maintaining surveillance to be sure that it does not enter the United States, to prevent feeding practices that could permit BSE to become established, to create stronger protections for consumers, and to develop and employ effective response plans. Our first experience with the plans that we developed affirmed that they are effective. We were able to prevent any damage from distribution of byproduct from the one BSE cow discovered in the United States, and we will continue to develop the science that can further protect consumers and the cattle industry from the threat of BSE. And I thank you very much.